This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. It's an advice podcast.
Yeah, I could roll face and rage face, suck face and fuck face to that song. Let's get started. Welcome to another episode of If I Were Juice. Wait. I'm your host,
hold on.
Jake Juicewitz.
Hold on.
With my co-host, Amir Blumenshit.
No. What do you mean you could fuck face to that song? What is that?
I just mean if I was like rolling on MDMA, Molly, laced with a little speed. And everything felt good.
Yeah.
And I was sucking face and fucking face with somebody.
Right.
Sort of like I guess fucking face would be like a 69 position where two individuals are fucking each other's faces.
Got it. And then what does that have to do with the song?
Well, just it would be a nice background to me sucking face and fucking face.
Okay. So the song being on in the background, it feels like it's not doing much. It's mostly the drugs that you're on.
It's no, I mean, the song does a lot. I really think the song, I wouldn't say the song doesn't do a lot. I think the song really does.
Yeah.
A lot.
Okay. What about the song, but no drugs? Are you still fucking face?
No, I'm limp, flaccid, scared, and lonely.
Got it.
in a corner.
Yeah.
Waiting for the drugs to hit, okay. Wondering who the hell sold me this fake Molly.
All right, what about Real Molly but no song? What's going on there?
Real Molly, no song. I am rolling face, raging face, right, sucking right. face, and fucking face.
Yes, that's what my point is. My point is it seems like this song.
But it's not as nice.
It's inconsequential.
It's consequential.
Yeah, it seems like the drugs are doing 99% of the work, and you're saying that.
I mean, what
song
do you,
he's like?
Do
nice
you enjoy?
Bonus.
Do you enjoy a cheeseburger with a side salad? Yes, you do. But I think you enjoy it more with some really well seasoned Cajun fries. I would say Cajun fries are kind of maybe the goat French fry. Thoughts?
Tweet it.
You think so?
Yeah, that's a hot take.
All right. Okay, I guess I'll tweet it. I haven't tweeted in 4 years, but I think maybe now's the time.
Oh, you were just banned. You were just banned for drafting the Cajun fries thing.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still here. It didn't hang up on you. I just see your Twitter. Your account's been locked.
Oh, it's locked.
Yeah, I guess you're retweeting a bunch of hate crime shit.
Yeah, right. So whenever the Molly's not coursing through my vein, yeah. I'm sort of like like a troll influencer.
Yeah, alt right, you should say.
Right.
We didn't even say who that song was by.
Oh, damn.
It's by Adam Dallin, which is a rework of an original song called Letters, which is on his album Cowboy Music, which is on Spotify, Apple Music, and even Deezer. Do you think Deezer is a joke or it's an actual website with albums on it?
Gotta be both.
The album is called Cowboy Music, and it's on Spotify and Apple Music at the very least. And if Deezer exists, then it's there too.
Dope. Is that this is the second time somebody made a cover of their own music for us.
Yeah, they're starting to get a little too original for my liking. Like, our fans are talented, and that's nice.
Right.
But don't, like, go making covers of original shit. Like, I'd
hate to be overshadowed.
I still want to hear the songs that me personally likes.
Yeah.
Without having to hear new music, discover new things, mm-hmm. basically.
It's good to have a song about us.
Yes.
For free to introduce our show.
For
That's
sure.
That's nice to have.
For sure.
But I'd hate for it to come at the expense of me looking like less of a musician.
Because I can't do it that way.
Right.
I can't do it to that
and,
extent.
There's a world where someday somebody's fame and talent overshadows us.
Yes, overshadows.
Which would be sad.
That would be the worst case scenario. That's exactly right. I wasn't able to figure out how to say it. But yeah, I don't want to be not as talented as X, Y, or Z.
Right. To be diminished in stature and to be held in a lesser regard in comparison vis-a-vis a more talented musician
would be
a negative.
Yeah, it would
thing.
Make us be bad to have it that way.
I think this is, yeah, that's the easiest, that's the clearest way to explain it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's like making us look small or petty. I think it's
basically,
it's just,
yeah, let me take another stab at it.
Okay, go for it.
The
yeah.
way we talk
mm-hmm.
is, so we talk the best, and to have
right.
another thing, like, for example, to have it be music or to have song
right.
of it is not like as good as we can talk. So to have it be better than me is not good to me or you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does. So that tracks for me. Maybe I can just put it in layman's terms
for
anybody.
Yeah, and then we can put it
didn't.
To bed, and then yeah, then we can really, we really right. have to go. But yeah, take a step.
But essentially, on the pod
yeah.
is where we'll me and
right.
you
right.
are our partners, and we'll have a chat.
Yes,
and the chatting
yeah
is nice to be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here,
obviously.
I'll take it from here.
Okay.
It's nice to be good. Yes, that's true. But also, what am I trying to say here? And additionally,
so let me take it
yeah.
from there. So, in additionally, when a music is sent and played on this,
yes,
in between a chat,
can I take it from here? When a music
yeah.
is sent and sent to a chat, when a music is sent and sent to a chat, okay, I can. Can you help me?
Yeah, I can take it from you. So when the music is sent, the corn,
yes. Okay, I think we got there.
Essentially,
I think we had it before. yeah, that one grinded to
okay.
a complete halt.
All right.
Yeah, that one stonewalled us to the point where no more words were even being said. At a certain point, you were grunting noise.
Right.
Yes, but
obviously.
I think the overall sentiment is clear.
The gist.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Let's try to answer some questions. Let's try to get out of
I
this
figure
funk.
That's yeah, that's a good idea.
We got some good ones here. We got one about prom. Of course, prom's coming up for some schools. We got one about ditching my roommate.
Ooh.
We got one about making an ex-boyfriend a best friend. Why don't we start there? Because that one doesn't ring very true to me.
It's kind of interesting. I kind of like... Have we thought about doing this ever? Like,
oh, like a menu?
Yeah, like a table of contents for the podcast.
Pardon the interruption style, so people know what's coming up.
Right.
No, we can try that.
It's kind of fun.
So we got a Game of Thrones question, a prom night question. an ex-boyfriend question and a roommate question, which we'll start with. We need a lady's name.
Oh, I'm going on a little vacay today with a friend named Raimi. Let's call this person Raimi.
Oh, she would love that.
She'll never hear this.
I'm a 23-year-old lady from Idaho, and I'm having some issues. This is actually a good way to see if any of your friends or Jill's friends listen to the podcast. So don't tell anybody about this, and we'll see if it gets back to Raimi.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then in 3 weeks, you can start accusing people. You listen to the show?
4 weeks.
You listen to the show?
In 4 weeks, I'll get a divorce.
I don't think you listen to the show.
You don't listen to the
show. Because you never heard about the question with your fucking name on it.
Everyone should have told you that.
Oh, maybe I haven't gotten to it. It was 3 weeks ago, actually. This is you shoving her husband.
She's like, I listened to the first 10 minutes and it was unlistenable. You're making grunting noises at one point. You full on forgot words.
That's fair.
Okay. Did you like the music, though?
I wrote that song for you. Raimi writes, I'm a 23-year-old lady from Idaho, and I'm having some issues forming a relationship with my ex-boyfriend. I know it's cliche to tell someone that you want to remain friends after a breakup, but I did just that. And what does this diva do? He removes me from all social media. We dated on and off for 3 years, and it was a messy relationship. However, I was trying to do the mature thing by making it an amicable breakup because we have a lot of mutual friends, and I may see him in social situations. I've been giving him space for about 2 months since he basically blocked me on all platforms, but I'm still hoping there's a chance we can end things on a good note. Should I text him and try to remedy the situation or just let things be? It really irks me to think that he might hate me because we were basically BFFs at one point. So is there any possibility of that happening again? Or at least being friendly acquaintances? Any advice is appreciated. P.S. Amir, you can apply this to your past relationships with other chipmunks if it helps.
Yeah, I don't really know about the mating habits of chipmunks, but I can answer from the human perspective, and then maybe you can take it on the woodland creature
front.
What do you think?
I don't know much about chipmunks. We'll both do the human one.
Okay. Well, why don't I take the lead since you're a chipmunk and I'm a person? You can weigh in as much because I know you live among humans, which is neat. But I just mean, like, if you wanted to weigh in on any of the... The chipmunk angle. I think that could be interesting for our listeners.
I won't be able to speak to that intelligently, but continue with the human stuff, and then I'll join in with the human stuff.
Right. Well, why don't you... Yeah, you can close the loop on the human stuff, and then I think it'd be cool to do a deep dive on chipmunk shit. So,
all right, what do you think?
You're a chipmunk. That's what I think. Okay, so... I just don't think it's important to be friends with exes.
But is it in poor taste?
I don't think it's in poor taste. I think it's in poor taste to force it.
It's like, in poor taste to force taste?
Yeah. If you're like, I think the best you can be is open to a friendship with an ex. You can't be like, I think it's important that we stay friends, because that sort of puts on a little, like, the other person has to be down with it too. Breakups are hard. So, like, this guy blocking you, that says to me that that he's not ready to be friends at all. Like, maybe the breakup was harder on him. He doesn't want a friendship.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
I think the most truthful part of this email is when she says, it really irks me to think that he might hate me. That's the whole point of it. That's the crux of it right there. If you think he's blocking you, then you're worried he's mocking you.
Oh.
And he actually might be.
I don't think he's blocking isn't mocking.
What is blocking?
Blocking is flocking.
Oh, interesting.
It's not really flocking. Blocking is not shocking, and it is not mocking. Blocking is, excuse me, one second.
Just pulling up rhymingdictionary.com.
Yeah, it's not knocking. It's not cocking. That's obviously not what it is. I wouldn't say that it's cocking.
Cock blocking?
Oh, you know, it's locking. Blocking is locking.
That's good.
This guy's, he's locking in his own, like, his own self-worth. And, like, he's doing what he needs. Just lock it in. Lock it up. You're out because he's got to heal, and your, like, you being around isn't letting him do that.
Yeah.
Okay? Blocking is locking, but it's not mocking.
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily mock you, but I'm saying he might just might not like you that much, but that's okay too. You don't have to worry about that. This person is, you know, no longer in a relationship with you, and it sounds like it was a messy relationship because you described it as such. So he might need more than 2 months to get over it.
I also think blocking isn't necessarily like, I hate this person. Blocking is more like, I need to get over this person, and to do that, I need space. So I don't think that it's like, it does, like, you don't have to be irked that he hates you. If anything, you could feel kind of confident that you're so hard to get over.
That's nice. What about this rule of thumb? For every year you've been in a relationship, it takes 1 month to get over. So this is a 3-year affair, and it'll take him 3 months to get over.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had like breakups that weighed on me and I got over them, and it's not like then I wanted to be friends with the person again. That's just not how everyone is wired. So you gotta respect people's wiring.
Yeah, it just makes it a little more complicated because they're all in the same friend group, and she doesn't want to be like, hey, is this person gonna be there? Because then he's gonna be
oh
weird.
Yeah, well, the friend group is ruined. The dynamic is destroyed. Things will never be the same there.
But that's the risk
right?
he took when dating a friend in the group.
Yeah, and what is it like in the forest?
It's
living amongst the chipmunks, as it were.
Oh,
I was just curious because we said we'd tackle the human thing, and then you would,
I guess,
do the chipmunk.
I mean, personally, I don't know, but I'm on Wikipedia, and it says I guess chipmunks aren't necessarily monogamous animals. A woman can have up to 10 partners at a time, and there's no real like one-on-one relationships in the forest. Not that I know, but I'm doing research as a human like you could. You could have easily done this research.
Right. Okay.
Doesn't mean that it's coming from personal experience.
No, totally. Well, I mean, for you, growing up as a chipmunk in your little tree, did you have lots of other chipmunk girlfriends and stuff? Did they have other chipmunk boyfriends? Because I know you read that from Wikipedia, but now I'm just wondering from personal experience as you grew up, a chipmunk.
Yeah, I did have a chipmunk girlfriend, but I wasn't a chipmunk. Like, I don't know how else
okay.
to say this.
Let's go on to the next question then.
Yeah.
You were?
I had one friend and one girlfriend that was a chipmunk. That doesn't mean that I'm a chipmunk.
No. Well, and what were your parents?
My parents were, one was, you know, a regular guy, a dad, a normal guy and a dad.
You said a guy and a dad, but like, was it a human person?
No, it was not
your
a human
dad?
Person.
Okay.
It was a chipmunk man and a wife.
And was your chipmunk man dad guy's wife?
A chipmunk?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Christ.
All right.
I feel like I'm being put on trial here.
You're not being lambasted.
All right. Actually, let's talk about another a hallmark moment of every childhood, or I should say teenagehood, the prom.
Oh, the promenade.
We'll call this man, who's another dude that you're going on vacation with.
Chris.
Chris writes, longtime listener, first time baller, and I've got a bit of a hard one for your boys to wrap your head around.
Okay.
I'm an 18-year-old dude who, for religious reasons, has never masturbated or had sex.
What?
You could probably just say never masturbated. We can assume the second part.
What is the, is it a religion thing to say thou shall not freaking cream your jeans?
I can't even jerk my girk. I think it's like wasting seed. Anyway, he continues, everything has been going great, but as I prepare for my senior prom, my boys have been razzing my ass about the upcoming event. Our prom is known for the grinding and sexy dancing that takes place, and my friends have told me that they think my lack of penile stimulation will cause me to bust a nut during the dance.
Damn.
Is this a realistic fear? What can I do to stop myself from soiling the front of my trousers while my dime piece date goes down to town on a dance floor? I could really use some advice before I seize my cheese in the middle of a school gymnasium.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I feel...
Imagine 5 years of pent-up puberty being rubbed up against by your prom date.
Well, I just feel like it almost doesn't even matter if you masturbate and have sex and... If you don't, like, when you're 18 grinding at prom, like, the hormones are firing anyway.
a maximum.
Right. So at the very least, I would say that like you're on par with everybody else. I mean, maybe the fact that you haven't masturbated or had sex yet, like you've been able to restrain yourself for God and country, maybe that means that you have a lower sex drive, so you'll actually be a little safer.
Whoa, so it hasn't been building up, it's actually been diminishing.
Yeah, maybe your friggin' dick doesn't work.
What?
You old Jesus freak.
I feel like if your brain really wanted to make you explode, it would have done it in a wet dream by
now. Yeah, maybe it has. Maybe it's like, is that like a little loophole for religious kids?
Yeah, that's the evolutionary purpose of wet dreams, is that if you can't masturbate when you're asleep, your brain says, you idiot, I'll take care of you, and your God will be none the wiser.
God's not paying attention while you're asleep.
It wasn't me, it was my brain, I swear. I swear it, Mama.
Outside the pearly gates. No, your seed actually spilled. It spilled. You didn't touch it, but you had a bad dream.
Don't pretend like you're not up here jerking it, St. Peter. I mean, why are these gates so pearly?
Yeah, you have to go to hell now with all of the rapists and murderers. Because you had a wet dream.
Yeah. So, imagine how many people have pent-up boners in heaven if it's filled with people who've never masturbated before.
Yeah. What a boring place that would be. I only want to hang out with other people that bust their nuts.
What about an accidental orgasm? So he's still getting off scot-free, but it's not necessarily like a wet dream.
What do you mean accidental orgasm?
Like if you rubbed up against something in a seemingly innocuous way, like if you found yourself in a really tight hallway.
The hallway was so tight that it's a fleshlight.
Yeah. So you construct a small little house filled to the brim with fleshlights that sort of prevent you from walking or talking much.
Like,
and you find yourself in a place that you almost have to masturbate to get out.
Oh, yeah, like a life or death situation where like...
Like a hot escape room.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Because then like God can't be mad at that. Like, because, you know, there's got to be like a commandment that's higher than the jizz thing.
Yeah.
So like the lesser of two evils.
Like what was that? What was that Aesop fable about the kid that fell down the well and he had to like jerk off so much that he actually like started floating and he can swim to the top?
I don't know if I remember that fable. That must have been something that your parents read to you.
Yes. Yeah. Come to think of it, it was in my dad's handwriting.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was like this parable of sorts, this story with an interesting message about, I forget what the point of the tale was, but it seemed to involve enough cum to fill a well.
That was the upshot. The moral of the story is that you can always fill a well with spum.
Yeah. So this kid can do something like that, like find himself in a situation where he, you know, has to seemingly need to orgasm or force himself to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't happen, I don't know, maybe two pairs of underwear?
Oh, yeah. You could always do something like that. Maybe wear like two pairs of underwear, that should probably work.
Do you remember how hot dances were?
Oh, yeah. It's also funny that like as you get older, the boner and the grinding like is the point. Like when I was younger, I was like, oh, God, like I can't get hard because people will notice when they're grinding with me.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, isn't that why people do it?
Isn't that why denim jeans are so hard? Because if we were all still wearing suits on a dance floor, everybody would have a little tent pop.
Well, your denim jeans are hard because they're caked with spum from grinding.
Yeah, additionally. So right. It's hard washed denim, but also dried semen.
Yeah, you actually have really, really tight hallways in your house where you're constantly putting your dick, right?
Yeah, I live in a fleshlight museum of sorts, the size of a dollhouse that I can't stick more than just my legs into.
There's also a well outside that is just overflowing with your seed.
I don't know why I couldn't just piss myself out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a story for another day. Two pairs of underwear, I guess.
I like that. That's a practical solution.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, answer some more Q's after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
On to let's do it. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Yes, I do. Let me ask you a question, bub.
Uh-huh.
Do you smile at yourself in the mirror?
I don't.
You do not.
I scowl and I cry and I wonder why.
This was an interesting development for me. So I guess it was maybe a few weeks ago, I was like using a little jade roller, which I think we've talked about on the show.
Yep. We talked about the little stone that you roll on your face.
Yeah. So I was using that and I was looking in the mirror and Jill was filming me, not like, you know, unbeknownst
yeah,
to
candid
me.
Shot.
And when I finished, I sort of smirked at myself in the mirror and she thought it was really funny. And then I talked to my sister and she was like, do you smile at yourself in the mirror? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I do. Like that, me doing that smirk was like something I do all the time. And I just figured everybody did. But my sister was like, I do that too. And then I asked Jill if she did it and she was like, no. And then now I just asked you and you said no. So I didn't even know that people didn't smile at themselves in the mirror. That's how natural it is to me. Furthermore, I think it makes you have a more positive outlook on your day. If you smile at yourself, if you treat yourself with a friendly attitude.
It's like a daily affirmation, a positive affirmation.
Yeah. And then now that I've like thought about it and I started noticing it, I cheer myself up in the mirror all the time.
What do you like, visually or using words?
Yeah, like sometimes I'll like just make a silly face at myself. Sometimes I always give myself a nice smile.
I've caught you playing peekaboo with you.
Yeah. Well, Mirror Me is just he's a real wackadoodle.
Yeah.
He's a clown and I love him. He always teases me and makes me laugh.
You'll dangle keys in front of him.
When Mirror Hurwitz plays peekaboo, I don't know where he goes for a beat. and then when he comes back, when he peeks out from behind the hands and I see his smiling face, I say, oh, you got me again. I thought you had disappeared.
Got it.
Yeah, so he's always making cute faces at me, smiling at me, playing games with me, and it makes me happy to be there with him. And I miss him when he's gone.
And my dad was never around growing up, and I didn't need him to be because Mirror Me would sort of take over for my father. So
Mirror Me is the best me. Yeah, so that's my advice. Everyone should smile at themselves in the mirror. Treat themselves with a little bit of positivity and joy. Inject some fun, nice times into your day through smiles.
I think that everybody has a face they make when they look in the mirror. Like, I do the same face every time I look in the mirror, and then friends, family, loved ones all have, like, a certain face that they make. And it's, like, the face that they're, like, either inspecting to see their like biggest insecurity or like looking to hide insecurity or doing a face that they think they look best in.
Right. I guess I do that too, but every time before I leave, I give myself a smile. What's your face that you make?
I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's just a face. I guess I'd have to just take a picture. I used to like look over my glasses, but now I don't have glasses anymore, but I still like keep my chin down and look up.
Oh yeah. I know exactly. There's videos of you doing this. I know the face.
Yeah. Jill's also recorded me doing it.
Who did?
Jill's also recorded me looking in the mirror. She's doing some sort of like voyeuristic
expose.
Mirror, visual art shit.
Right. It's invasive. It's totally invasive. I didn't even know that she had come out to LA. That's like,
it's actually called Jake in the Mirror.
Oh yeah.
So in a way, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, she's starting a Patreon.
Speaking of Patreon, Jeff Rubin was on our Patreon this week. We were talking about old videos that we made together.
That
highly recommend.
Yeah, that was a good one. It was so interesting to watch Catan, which is like a video that you forget about because we did it during the first College Humor All Nighter. So it was like all those videos are a blur anyway, and it was also like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That and the other video that we watched, which is like one of our oldest video, but made me crack up, the party planning video, is so funny.
Yeah. You know what? Something I noticed in that video that we didn't notice in the Patreon watch commentary?
Tell me.
When I was talking about fucking interns, and everyone goes, you can't fuck the interns, Dan says, you can't butt fuck the interns.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like very subtle. And I like triggered when I was watching the video of us commenting on it. I'm like, oh, I think he's saying butt fucking, but I didn't remember that during the actual taping of the commentary.
That's funny. I remembered him doing that joke. I thought it was good.
You can't butt fuck the interns, like, which is true.
Regular fucking's fine.
All right, back to the questions, back to the answers. This guy has a question about Game of Thrones, which I thought we should revisit now that the show's over.
Oh.
And you're such a big fan.
Well, was.
We'll call this guy Jaime Lannister, because that's a character that I remember from the 11 episodes I've seen.
Great.
I'm having a soul-crushing issue here, writes Jaime, to read Game of Thrones or not. It's been seen and heard that Jake dived into the series, and I'm wondering if having watched the show will be like rewatching the show with just more depth. This reading will be like rewatching the show with more depth into the characters, or will it bring to light new storylines and twists? I could I wish I could come to you with a dead poor dad or a shitty slutty wife, but unfortunately this is the drama plaguing my existence. Love, Jamie Lannister. Firstly, what'd you think of the last season? Were you as down on it as everybody on my Twitter feed?
Yes, I hated it as much and more as everybody else. I'm the dude that started the petition.
Your finger was hovering over whether it should be raising funds for Alabama abortion or getting people to rewrite the last season of Game of Thrones. And you said, fuck it, I gotta trust my gut.
Yeah, you know what? I can be mad about both things. I donated and I'm pissed about Game of Thrones, okay?
Yeah, but who'd you donate more money to?
Oh, I donated $1,000 for them to reshoot starting from the end of season 6.
Wow. Oh, so people didn't even like season 7? I thought all this stuff was just about season 8.
I think season 7 is like where it started to diverge. And I feel like season 7 being kind of bad, like, just shows how much trust and buy-in all of the fans had. Because, like, when dumb shit happened, we're like, it's okay, they have a plan. Like, this has to happen quickly here because, like, season 8's going to be awesome.
Right. So you gave them the benefit of the doubt. 6 great seasons and then a 7th that could have gone either way.
Yeah, yeah.
Is every season a book? Like, how many books have there been?
I believe there's been 5 books.
Okay.
I think there's 5.
And then how many more books?
There was supposed to only be one final book, but apparently he is doing 2 books now. He split that one up into 2 books. The Winds of Winter and A Song of Spring or something like that.
Got it. And will it follow the same story as the show, but just do it better? Or will he be like, nah, fuck that. Bran is not really the
I've
king.
Heard different things. The thing that I've heard is that George R.R. Martin did intend to have Bran sitting on the throne at the end, which I do think is fine. I'm not going to like say that Bran shouldn't be on the throne. I just think the way they got there is ham-handed and sloppy and incredibly dumb.
Okay.
So I imagine since there's not really a timeline for George R.R. Martin, and the books are already so dense, like they slashed so much out of them for the TV show. I think that the books will stay good. I'm definitely going to still read the books. I would also recommend reading the books to anybody who loved the show still.
Did it retroactively ruin the books for you? How bad this TV was? Or are you treating it like this weird fan fiction experiment and the actual show ended in season 6?
It came close to retroactively ruining the show for me.
Wow.
Like, I'm not sure I can... I'm so mad at this season that I don't think I can go back and just like watch episodes of the show like I was doing leading up to the season because I was so excited. I would just like watch a random episode and be like, oh, I can't wait. For a while, I feel like it's that bad breakup thing. So I need like, I need, what is it? 8 months off?
1 month for every year was a bad relationship.
Yeah. So then we can be friends again. Maybe in like a year or so, I can watch an episode. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch an episode from this season.
Do you think the show would have been just as bad if the books had already existed, or were the books helping that much?
It wasn't necessarily about like the books and the source material. It was really like just bad writing and not enough time. Like the way Cersei died is kind of cool to me, but the fact that she like didn't have any screen time or like make any last ditch effort or like I don't know, she just didn't do anything like cool this season. So I don't think the show needed the books to figure out the plot points, but it needed more episodes and more screen time for it to do everything well.
Yeah, common complaint was that everything was rushed.
Yeah, and I think it was so rushed that like it wasn't like things had to happen. They just straight up cut so much out. Like the fact that Jon stabs Daenerys and then it just cuts and it's 6 weeks later and he's a prisoner makes truly no sense. Grey Worm 2 minutes before that is slitting the throats of like soldiers who surrendered because they were once loyal to Cersei. And then a guy stabs their queen and that guy is just a prisoner. That's not how it works. The city is surrounded by unsullied and Dothraki. They're like murdering indiscriminately. The queen is killed, and that guy goes, and then the guy that does it goes to jail.
Are any like mega fans coming to the defense of this last season in the subreddit?
I have not seen any. I've seen, the only thing I've seen is like, we should be grateful that the show is so good and like these people did such a great job with their performances and yada, yada, yada. I agree the show is, they did something very cool, but like also they bungled the ending so bad that I think they have to like apologize.
To you?
Me personally.
No way. At least let them issue a mea culpa to everybody watching. Like, you can't.
I think it's got to be a fucking, I need a personal apology in like face to face, by the way.
No.
I don't want like a letter or a phone call.
A personalized handwritten apology to you is not enough. You just want to meet the cast. It's clear you just want to meet the cast.
If the King of the North delivers the apology and we get to hang out for an afternoon, fine. I'll
in character. You want the actor to be in character to deliver the apology to you, and then you want to hang out with that character?
Yeah. I don't want to hang out with Kit Harington. I want to hang out with Jon Snow.
Okay. So the apology, you want everyone to get back into costume, apologize to you in person, and then you get to hang out with them, and they can't break character?
Yeah. I want to be in Westeros for a year.
You're asking for more every time. Now you want them to rebuild sets for you. You want to visit the set. Where do they shoot it? In fucking Scotland?
Not the set. I want to visit Westeros.
Well, that can't happen. I'm sorry.
I want to be like a Lord of Winterfell for a year. Yeah. In Westeros.
You want to have some sort of medically induced coma dream that lasts a year where you're part of the universe now. Nick Arcade style. You've completely enveloped yourselves into the book. And during the show that you're currently in, you want characters to apologize to you.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So you got it.
No, I don't get it.
You get it.
That's way too much.
I'm glad you get it.
Have you seen videos that are now surfacing of like character or actors guessing how the show will end like 2 or 3 years ago?
Oh, no. That's really fun, though. What do they say?
There's this, I think the lady who plays Sansa, again, I'm not 100% sure, was being interviewed at a junket with the guy who played Jaime Lannister. And she's like, I think Bran will end up on the king's throne. And then Jaime Lannister seems to like know how it ends because he's like trying to actively convince her that that's not how it works, almost as if he knows. And he's like, no, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work because like, yeah, it just wouldn't work. Forget that. Like, don't even record that.
That's really interesting.
That's crazy. Like, stop this interview right now. That's so absurd.
You'll ruin the show, Sansa.
I gotta send you that link. Who's that actor? He's not American, right?
No, I've like seen his name, but he's like, I think he's like Danish or something.
Yeah, he looks like Viggo Mortensen's hot younger cousin.
Yeah.
All right, one last question before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Another lady. Who plays Sansa? Do you remember the character's name? Or the actress.
Sophie.
Name. Sophie writes, 2 years ago, I kissed a guy my friend was into. She had moved away, and I initially picked him up at the bar, so I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Oh, and I had made out with his friend the same night and ended up, quote, picking him in the long run. I told her shortly after this happened and apologized. Flash forward to today, we're roommates, and I heard from a third person that she's still mad at me about this. Between the grudges she's holding, other drama we had, and her overall negative attitude, I don't want to live with her anymore. The lease is up in August, and I want her to move out and a cooler person to move in. How do I go about doing this? Or should I just find a new place and roommate? Thanks. Love, Sophie. Or Sophia?
Sophie.
Yeah, Sophie.
What do you think about this one?
I don't think you can force someone else to move out. I think if you don't like the person, you got to leave.
Yeah, I'm with you. Between this grudge, her negative attitude, and other drama, like, it sounds like you guys have an awful relationship, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you just told us like one thing that's sort of like an insight, like this is like the straw breaking the camel's back. But
yeah.
But it sounds, your living situation sounds untenable to me.
It's not working out for anybody.
No.
Including you for this thing that you did 2 years ago, you're saying, and there was no other reason. I bet if we talked to the roommate, she'd be like, all right, here's what's really going on.
Yeah. Well, every time we should do another podcast where we call the person that the question's about.
Oh, that's cool. The other perspective.
The other side.
The other side. If I were you, quote, the other side. A luminary exclusive.
Ooh, there's two sides to every story.
That's good. And we'll even have piano music in the background.
Yeah, like an investigative deep dive.
Yeah, into like what this relationship was like and why.
That's cool.
And it would cost cash.
Yeah, and someone should give us cash.
Yeah.
Luminary should give us a budget of... What is like Serial's budget, probably?
Probably like 150 grand an episode.
Right. So if we got that, we could probably do the episode for
more than that.
All right. So if we got like 500 grand an episode for that deep dive podcast on like the shitty roommate thing, we could probably produce each episode for like 240 bucks. We'd like underpay a producer.
Yeah. Cheaper.
And then we're pocketing what is like 500,000 minus 240 bucks.
It's like, $499,760.
Okay, and then we split that
evenly,
you and I. So that's divided by two. What is that?
It's like $249,880.
So like, that's pretty good. And that, if you think of that as like, that's per episode. That's 10, like a 10 episode series. What's that times 10?
2,499,880 bucks.
That's actually pretty freaking good for 10 weeks of work, right?
It's a lot. My head's starting to hurt.
Yeah.
But then you got to think of
that's like,
taxes.
Oh, all right. So yeah, that's taxed on at 35% probably.
Yeah, 35.
Yeah. So like, what would I owe? What's my, what's the damage there? What do I have to pay to Uncle Sam? And what do I get to
pocket?
Oh,
what did I say it was? 2,499,880.
Yeah, so then we got 35% going to the freaking government, obviously.
35% is like 5%, which is like 10% divided by 2. So it's back to the 249,880. But divided by 2 is like 124,940 times 7. So that's, 124 is like 12.5 times 7. 11 times 7 is 77 plus another 1.5 sevens, which is 10. I think it's close to like, fuck, I want to say like a million, maybe a million one.
Bucks?
I just did so much math for you. And then your one follow-up question was the unit of measurement. Yeah, it's always been bucks. Everything bucks. I've been saying has been dollars. You're so dumb. You're not doing any of the heavy lifting.
I came up with the freaking idea.
Yes. Sorry. Bucks. Bucks. Everything's in U.S. dollars so far. Do you want me to convert the currency?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. To what?
Can you convert it to Icelandic kroner? Because I think that's where I'm going to buy the...
Fuck.
I might buy a summer house.
What's the exchange rate? 17,000 to 1? Yeah. 17,430,000 Icelandic kroner.
That's actually not bad. Can you do me a favor? If you're on your computer, just open up a new
tab. I'm not on my computer. Yeah. All right.
Do Zillow and Akureyri. And
there's nothing. It doesn't exist there.
All right.
They use a different website, I guess.
Okay. All right, then that's all. That's all.
Now you don't want to do the podcast?
No, I don't.
I got so far.
If I'm not going to be able to use Zillow to find my summer house in Iceland, then I don't really see the point. But that was cool. All right. Let's wrap it up, bud.
You got to leave. You can't kick a roommate out, but you can kick yourself out.
Yeah, I would say that is accurate.
Unless you did something so bad.
This seems like it's a toxic situation. I feel like just get out entirely. Let's start clean. I think that's what we do.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you have your own questions, your own theme song, send it all to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. The opening one was written by Dallin, Adam Dallin.
Ooh.
This closing one is written by Jerry Grimes. So thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Adam. Thanks to you, Jake, for joining us. Oh, by the way, you never gave out a award for this episode, I'm realizing.
Oh, yeah. So I won the golden mic and you got the dirty. So congrats. Congrats.
What? Congrats to who?
All around.
Congrats to me.
Congrats to you on taking home the turdy. Yeah, good job. And and congrats to me for taking home another GM. Pretty fun. Good stuff. Good old stuff. I love it.
We're going to be in Chicago, I should say. There's about 50 tickets left to our Chicago show. Headgum.com/live. You can see us June 14th, 15th, 16th. With all of our favorite HeadGum friends. Come on down. It's going to be a party.
Yeah, we'll see who wins that golden mic live. What do you think? That'll be cool.
Oh, they're doing... we give them out during live episodes. You decide that you get one during live episodes, too?
Yeah, I've won every live episode we've ever done.
What did you win for this week, by the way?
What do you mean?
Which joke did you have that was the best? You said you got the golden mic.
Right. I think it was sort of like an overall performance thing.
And then me for the turdy, was it... Do you think... Maybe I didn't win a turdy, but I didn't win a golden mic.
No, I thought you were being cagey about being like a, you know, the fact that you're a chipmunk. So I feel like every time I have to pull that out of you, it's...
That's a turdy.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a turdy. Just to me, that was like a turd-based performance in a way.
Yeah. I think that I win the golden mic.
I had fun doing the show with you, man. Let's, let's just try to stay positive because I think it's important for us to sort of like, you know, present ourselves as like a strong unit. And I don't want this to, you know, reflect poorly on you, really. I think
smile at yourself in a mirror. Is that what you said? Was your advice?
Yeah, that was my unsolicited advice.
To smile at yourself in the mirror.
To smile at yourself.
You're not smiling at me. You want to create a positive day for you. Why don't you smile at me? All right, we'll be back next week.
All right.
You fucking prick. Suck my dick.
How you living? Explanation for a sticky situation that I get in. Tried to seize the cheese, but I was out of luck. Girl was a dime piece, now I'm in a Starbucks. Buck. Bucky gonna kill myself, cause no one wants to fuck me. Persistent, persistence creates distance, cause resistance. In this instance, I regret every choice I could have possibly made, cause this ain't horseshoes or hand grenades. Your boy's innocent, shame burns like hell. Call on to pinch a partner, screw well.
Give me what I would need to get through if I were you. Just tell me what to do if I were you.
Nicaragua. South America.
Feel free to not hold your applause to the end. They're not doing that.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's it's.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.